Well, now to the disturbing message from Indonesia's Attorney General that he's put the two death row Australian prisoners, Andrew Chan and Murun Sukumaran, on the next list of prisoners to be executed. The pair were part of the Bali Nine Australians convicted of trying to smuggle heroin out of Indonesia a decade ago. The director of the Centre for Indonesian Law at Melbourne University, Professor Tim Lindsay, is one of Australia's top Indonesia analysts. He says there is clearly politics at play in this death penalty case, and he told me this is a concerning development that puts the Australians in the midst of a legal and political power struggle in Indonesia.
It has been the case in the past that the Attorney General's Office, or the Chief Prosecutor, which is really what he is, who are responsible for managing executions, have declined to go ahead and execute anybody on death row who still has a matter before the courts. And about a decade or so ago, in similar circumstances, when Indonesians on death row sought a second reconsideration, the current Attorney General, who was then a deputy, actually said that he wouldn't go ahead with the executions wouldn't go ahead while the matter was still before the courts. So it would be very surprising if they proceeded with executions before this matter is resolved by the Supreme Court.
Could the government simply order the court to throw it out?
No, they couldn't. Since the fall of Suharto in 1998, Indonesia introduced separation of powers in the constitution. So no, he couldn't order them to throw it out. Where the president obtains a say in this process is usually after the court process is exhausted and the prisoner chooses to exercise a right of clemency. Now that has already been done. What happened in this case was they went through their normal Supreme Court appeal, they sought a reconsideration, and now they're going back to the court.
So given these complexities, how concerned are you about the fate of these two Australians?
Well, I think it is very concerning. They find themselves in the middle of an institutional fight between the Constitutional Court and the Supreme Court, who are, if you like, twin peaks of the Indonesian judicial system. What's happened here is that the constitutional jurisdiction has said something about how the Constitution should be applied, and the Supreme Court, which is actually handling a trial, doesn't want to take it into account. The Constitutional Court some years ago did uphold the death penalty, but it said someone who's been on death row for 10 years and has really rehabilitated and reformed themselves should then have their sentence commuted to term of imprisonment. The Supreme Court has ignored that, and so has the government, including the Attorney General and the President. No attention's been paid to that at all. And we've recently had the Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court call for it to be respected, and indeed saying that although his court had previously upheld the death penalty, maybe it's time to abolish it. So Murun Sukumaran and Andrew Chan find themselves in the middle of these debates about the power of the courts, about the nature of the death penalty. But because of the stage it's reached, it's going to be very hard for them to be able to exercise the rights in question. And that's the tragedy of it.
Well, of course, if the president had exercised clemency, it wouldn't be up to the courts. Why is President Widodo taking such a strong stand on executing prisoners?
There are a complicated range of reasons involved here. The first is that, like many other presidents before him, he is taking a very harsh public stand on drug offenders. Now, this is not unusual. Indonesia has been involved in what it calls its own war on drugs, and that has had the usual low levels of success of most wars on drugs around the world. Drug use is increasing in Indonesia, particularly in the major urban capitals and in Bali as well. And there is clearly a public health issue to deal with it. Now, they have started using rehabilitation and other forms of treatment, but at the national level, the law and order and harsh penalty approach is the one that Joko Widodo's administration is going with. There have even been statements from senior figures saying that Indonesia should fall into line with Singapore and Malaysia and be regarded as one of the most harsh places in terms of drug offender penalties. So this is a policy position. Now, it is exacerbated by the fact that President Joko Widodo is in a very difficult position politically, has been attacked by his opponents for being weak during the recent election campaign, and any vulnerability will be exploited by his opponents, including, of course, former General Prabowo Subianto.
Well, Tim Lindsay, when we spoke just after Joko Widodo won the election, you said his big challenge would be to build a strong coalition. Is this tough stand on the death penalty an attempt to cement his support among the hardliners in Indonesia?
I think that his government has a genuine commitment to pursuing a very harsh approach on drugs, and I think he is a moral conservative. But the fact that he is under pressure to build a majority in the legislature and be seen as a tough guy, a hard man who can make hard decisions and who is not going to be easily influenced by foreign countries adds to that commitment. So it does the problem of most death penalty cases around the world, they end up becoming more about politics than about the actual facts of the case.
Is there opposition within Indonesia to the death penalty?
Yes, there is. There is a significant debate in Indonesia on this issue. It is probably the case that the majority of Indonesians still support the death penalty, but there is also an increasingly loud voices against it, including, of course, the former Chief Justice of the Constitutional Court who presided over the decision that upheld the death penalty. He's recently come out and said times have changed, and I think he has regrets about that decision and thinks he said publicly that it may now be time to abolish it. There's also a big problem that Indonesia has about double standards here. If, as they claim, they have an in-principle commitment to using the death penalty, that is weakened by the fact that they had set up a couple of years ago a task force and provided it with significant funding with the purpose of ensuring that Indonesian citizens overseas don't get executed, in some cases in countries where Islamic law applies, actually paying blood money to relatives of the victims to ensure they're not executed.
So that suggests then that President Widodo is leaving himself open to accusations that he's operating a double standard, that he's only doing this to burnish his political image.
Well, the answer that is given, and it is one that most Indonesians would accept, is that those Indonesians on death row in other countries are generally domestic workers who have responded to situations of abuse and in some cases sexual assault by murdering their employers are in a different category to drug offenders. The common view in Indonesia is that drug offenders should be considered mass murderers and are in a separate category with terrorists.
So is any shift in the death penalty in Indonesia likely to come in time for the two Australians?
Now, this is a long process. In Indonesia, some would say, has started on a gradual path towards abolition, but it's a long way to go yet, and there's clearly not consensus support for that. And there is strong support still for applying the death penalty to terrorists and drug offenders. So it's going to be very difficult for their lawyers to get the benefit of that.
Professor Lindsay, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Elna.
That's Professor Tim Lindsay, the Director of the Centre for Indonesian Law at Melbourne University.